Jaya Radha Madhava Kunabi Haruti. Jai Radha Madhava Kunabi Haruti. No pijana palaba kiribadadadi. No pijana palaba kiribadadadi. Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Te Rabana Chaudi. Yamona te rabana chaudi. Jai hurad umaduva kunja vihari. Jai hurad Umadhova Kundabihari. Dapinana Palaba Kiribadadhuti. Gopidana Ballaba Yidi Badadahuti. Yasodanandana Prajadana Dandahuna. Yasodanandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Te Rabana Chade. Yamuna Te Rabana Chade. Jai Hurad Umadhva Kunjabi Haruti. Jai Hurad Umadhva Kunjabi Haruti. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravilikacharya Also Teta Satishi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Ki Jai. Varem se koho shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri dvaita gadadhara Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhakta Vrindagajaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopakubhata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavadam Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagannath Swami Kijai Yamunamaya Kijai Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindagajaya Gaura Premananda Hari 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 Go. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 16, Text 51. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aparadha sakrid vartra sodavya swa praja kritaha shantum arhasi ashantadman mudasya twam Ajanataha Aparada Sakrit Vartra Asoda Vyasva Prajakritaha Shantum Marasi Shantatman Mudasya Tvam Ajanataha Radha Sakrit Bartra Asoda Vyaswa Pajakritaha Shantumarhasi Shantatman Mudasya Twam Janataha Radha Sakrit Vartra Sudavya Swaprajakritaka Shantumarhasi Shantatman Mudasya Twam Janataka. Okay.
Thank you.
Aparadaha, the offense. Sakrit, just once. Martra, by the master. Sadavyaha, should be tolerated. Svapracha, by your own subject. Kritaha, committed. Kshantum, to tolerate. Arhasi, it is befitting for you. Shanta Atman, O you who are always peaceful. Mudasya, of the foolish one. Twam, you. Ajanataha, who does not understand. So, translation. At least once a master should tolerate an offense committed by his child or subject. O supreme peaceful soul, you should therefore forgive our foolish husband who did not understand who you are. You can repeat. At least once a master should tolerate an offense committed by his child or subject. O supreme peaceful soul, you should therefore forgive our foolish husband who did not understand who you are. So purport by the servants of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Because of their extreme anxiety in this verse, Kaliya's wives mention the same idea twice, that the Supreme Lord should kindly forgive their foolish husband. The Supreme Lord is Ashantatma, the supreme peaceful soul, and therefore the Nagapatnis suggest it would be proper for him to overlook at least this once the great offense committed by the ignorant Kaliya. So, Aparada Sakridn Bartra Shodavya Swaprajakritaha Shantamarasi Shantatman Mudasya Twam Janataha. So, Omagana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, before speaking about this topic of forgiveness today, because that's today's topic, I just want to mention one thing. It says, Kaliya's wives, who are actually quite chaste ladies, they didn't look for another husband, but they are very honest in their ascertainment about their husband's qualities. They didn't deny it. They didn't say, well, he's just, anyway, he was just hungry today, making some excuse. They said, Mudhasya. You know, in India, you know, and they actually Prabhupada used several terms that were very insulting towards people, and Mudha was one of them. Another term, and Prabhupada, I think the term Prabhupada used almost the most, other than Krishna in his books, is rascal. And I've never done a count of the how many times. I mean, I guess I could go into the Veda base and do a count on it. But I was listening to a class this morning, and like every other sentence or every sentence Prabhupada was saying, the rascals, their rascals, you know, like, it's quite interesting. So, you know, like imagine a wife calling her husband, like, as foolish as an ass. Of course, they had a reason for doing that. It's not that they called him that to his face. That would have been counterproductive to loving relationships. But their reason was that they were trying to excuse their husband for his offenses. And continuing on to the subject of excuses or excusing someone for offenses, the most practical way to be excused for an offense is to have a devotee become your lawyer. Just like it says, you know, only a fool is his own lawyer, only a fool is his own doctor. So it's better to have a devotee represent you, and especially a pure devotee, and then you'll be forgiven, or most chances are. But, you know, only once is actually interesting here. And it's actually interesting because it also in regard to something Prabhupada said about being forgiven for different deviations from Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada compared it to the American game of baseball. Prabhupada said, you know, once you're forgiven, twice you're forgiven. And then Prabhupada said, for those who don't know about baseball, there's, you know, you hit or you try to hit the ball and you get three strikes on the third strike, you're out. You got to go to the dugout. Of course, you probably don't know what a dugout is, but anyway, so three strikes and you are out. Boom. So it's not like, of course, in Christianity or the Catholicism, you have this confession, and I guess you got a lot of strikes then. You can keep striking out every week, and you're never out. I mean, of course, I'm not saying that that's true. So, anyway, so the point is, once it shows your sincerity, twice, you know, okay, could be forgiven. Third time, you're rascal or muda or something like that. So there's many cases in Vaishnava history or the history of the Vedic literatures where people were forgiven for grievous offenses. And of course, Kaliya here has committed a very grievous offense. I mean, he's basically killed a lot of cows, calves and things like that because they drank from the water and other living entities. I mean, that's Vaishnavas, killed Vaishnavas. That's a pretty grievous offense. So, but there are many stories of how people got forgiven because either they had someone begging for their forgiveness or they were related to a Vaishnava. And one story comes to mind is the story of Banasura. Banasura, of course, he had, I think it was 1,000 arms, and he basically was a devotee of Lord Shiva. I don't need the Bhagavatam now. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva, and he basically couldn't find anyone to fight with. And he asked, you know, for benediction, and Lord Shiva said, you know, I'll give you someone to fight with that can really give you a hard time. And Banasura was thinking, boy, this is great. At least I got someone who is an adequate person to fight with. You know, everybody else, you know, he went to the ocean, everybody else just like, you know, can't do it. So what happened, I mean, the long story, it's a long story of Usha and Aniruddha, which we're not going to tell right now because that's not really applicable for class. But he ended up fighting with Krishna. And even Lord Shiva took his side. And the interesting thing is that Krishna didn't kill him. Why? Basically because he was related with Prahlad Maharaj. You know, you have a relative like that and you don't have to worry about getting killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, Krishna killed his own son, but that was Bulbasura. But in most cases, you know, someone's related, even related somehow or other, or a servant of somehow or other of a Vaishnava, you get forgiven. That's pretty cool. That's why, you know, we have to consider ourselves servants. I mean, even there's that story of Srivas Thakur. I'll tell two stories about Srivas Thakur. There's the story of Srivas Thakur's tailor, who was a meat eater. So that means he was committing the offense of killing innocent creatures too, because you're eating meat. Even if you don't kill the animal, you're responsible. You know, you're paying for the animal to be killed. So Srivas Thakur's tailor, because he was the tailor of Srivas Thakur, he was not only forgiven, he was given pure love of God. Can you imagine that? Here's a meat eater. You know, four regulative principles. I think some of you heard about these things, right? No meat. No intoxication, no gambling. No. doesn't mean that you can do these things. I mean, even in our movement, we had one branch that was taking intoxication, thinking Prabhupada would save them, or they were experiencing ecstasy. It doesn't mean you can do these things. But in his particular case, because it was not like a premeditated thing, it was just like his family tradition, basically. And therefore, he was forgiven and given pure devotional service. Another story about Srivast Thakur is interesting, too. How he was forgiven because of the mercy of another, not Srivast Thakur, but Gopal Chapala. And this Gopal Chapala tried to frame Srivast Thakur by putting the ingredients of worship for Durga outside of Srivast Thakur's door. And Srivast Thakur, of course, he wasn't interested in defending his reputation. It's interesting, you know, reading the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in the classes we're giving right now. Krishna is just emphasizing to Arjuna that, you know, if you don't, you know, behave yourself and fight, everybody's going to criticize you. You know, people who you respect, like Grandfather Bhishma and others, are just going to make fun of you, Lagavan, think you're just a very light guy. So, but Srivast Thakur is Brahmin. So he didn't care, you know, all right, someone frame me, okay, I worship Durga, no problem. And he just called for some sweeper guy to just take away the ingredients that were left at his door by Gopal Chapala. But Gopal Chapala, he developed after that point leprosy. And leprosy is not a nice disease to have. You know, your fingers just like, you lose them. And nose just melts and everything like that. And you get bitten by all these worms and your leprous sores. You can imagine what it is. I mean, sometimes they give me a garland in Bhagavatam class, and not worms, but the ants are crawling over me, and it drives me crazy. Can you imagine worms crawling in your sores? And so he goes to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for forgiveness. And he says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, you are the most merciful, the Mo Mahavananyaya. I don't know if you knew that verse, but he said, you're the most merciful. Please forgive me. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I curse you to be bitten by these same worms for many, many births, you know, millions of births. There's the most merciful personality. So Lord Chaitanya was not going to forgive him. But then later on, he got the mercy of Vrikeshwara Pandit. Vrikeshwara Pandit was a great dancer. And Vrikeshwara Pandit could sometimes dance for 72 hours without stopping. And so one time, Vrikeshwara Pandit was dancing, and there was a crowd surrounding him, and there wasn't social distancing at that particular point. So they were crowded around him, and what happened is this Gopal Chapala, I'm thinking of Devananda Pandit, sorry, I mixed the two stories. So that's another story of forgiveness. So eventually Gopal Chapala went to Srivast Thakur, and Srivast Thakur, he apologized to Srivast Thakur, and he was forgiven. And then as a result of that, he got cured of the leprosy. And also the story of Devananda Pandit, which I mixed the two stories together. The Devananda Pandit offended Srivast Thakur by not saying anything when Srivast Thakur was kicked out of his Bhagavatam class. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course he didn't get leprosy, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was walking by Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class, Lord Chaitanya said, he will never understand the Bhagavatam. You know, it'd be like if I'm sitting here giving Bhagavatam and one of our nice devotees walks by in the window there and says, that Bhir Krishna Goswami will never understand the Bhagavatam. Devananda Pandit didn't say anything, but then later on he served, as I mentioned before, Vrikeshwara Pandit. And as a result, then he became an intimate associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was forgiven by Srivast Thakur. So you got all these different stories. I mean, I actually have more stories than that I could tell. There's, of course, Bali Maharaj, who took over the heavenly planets because he was related with Prahlad Maharaj. And then he was given forgiveness like that. So the question is, also Magrari, Ajamil, so many different stories like that, where there was some connection with the Vaishnava, so they were forgiven for their offenses. So the point is, if we're committing offenses, and there's other offenses other than the offenses against the holy name, there's offenses against the holy Dham, of course, against Vaishnavas, which is the most serious. There's so many different types, you know, deity worship, seva, aparada. And so it is recommended that when one commits an offense, of course, one should not commit an offense, that one takes shelter of the Lord's holy names and just continues chanting. Of course, one should not take shelter of the Lord's holy names thinking this is the method by which I can go on committing offenses, and of course that's an offense on chanting the Lord's holy names. But, you know, if one has committed offenses in the past, one should just continue to chant the holy names. Of course, some devotees ask the question that if I am committing offenses while chanting, so it's better not to chant. They make that point. Better not to chant because I'm committing offenses while chanting, and if I don't chant, I'm not committing offenses against the holy name. It's good logic. And so, should I stop chanting? And I say no. And Prabhupada also said no. You should continue chanting and just beg for forgiveness from the holy name, but don't use the holy name as a method to overcome your offenses. Just keep chanting the holy name, and eventually you'll be free from this. So, therefore, the Bhagavatam states in the sixth canto the method of overcoming, you know, the offenses that we have committed or mistakes we have committed or sinful activities we have committed. And there's a very interesting verse, and this is in regard to something called prayaschitta, or atonement. Because the question is raised by Parikshit Maharaj, you know, how can one be freed? Because Parikshit Maharaj has just heard in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about all the different hells. Now, most of us, being a little immature, referring to myself, of course, when we hear about hells, we just think, wow, this is amazing. Someone's put through a sugarcane press. Wow, this is really cool. Sock it to them. That's an expression from the 60s, which probably none of you know. So you just let him suffer. Wow, he's going to go through the sugarcane press. He's going to get thrown off a mountain and have all of his bones broken. He's going to have to walk up again and get thrown off again. He's going to have to embrace the red-hot form of the opposite sex because he's so romantic. And we take delight in these things, or at hearing about the punishments, isn't it? Sometimes we do. And so, but Parikshit Maharaj, being a great devotee of the Lord, doesn't take delight in hearing about those punishments. He asks Shukadev, how can one be freed from these offenses or mistakes or sinful activities? And Shukadev Goswami tests him. He says, first, you should do some prayaschitta, you know, atonement. In other words, become like a monk in the Catholic monastery in the old days in the Middle Ages. And like I saw in Ripley's Believe It or Not in New York, it was very interesting. They had all these different tortures, the monks, you know, flagellation and everything like that the monks would do. And so, atone for your sins, atone, sinner. And so, Parikshit Maharaj disagrees with his guru. That shows we shouldn't follow blindly, at least if we have some intelligence. I mean, yesterday I mentioned that Prabhupada said for certain people who are stupid, it's better to follow blindly. He said if you're fourth class or fifth class, it's better to follow blindly. But otherwise, Prabhupada said, blind following absurd inquiries and condemn. So Parikshit Maharaj says to Shukadev Goswami that basically it's not going to work because it's like Kundra Sochara. It's like an elephant bathing. He's going to throw dirt on himself. Now, actually, That's an interesting comparison right there, because there is a reason an elephant throws dirt on himself. It's not that the elephant's completely in Maya and thinking of getting himself a bath and making himself dirty again. I mean, there's an hygienic reason that the elephant does it. But still, the whole analogy is there just to help us understand that one shouldn't clean himself and get dirty again. It's like, you know, sometimes we have devotees who walk barefoot throughout the whole property, and then they come in my house and they leave their footprints everywhere. It's better to wear shoes, especially because there's snakes out there. I mean, I saw a lot of copperheads in the last 2 days. So, anyway, so he gives that Pariksit Maharaj, you know, with respect towards Shukadev Goswami. He says, Guru Maharaj, it's not going to work like that. And then Shukadev Goswami ultimately answers Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur Jangan Mangalam Anghasam Mahatam Api Kauravya Vijayakantika Nishkritam. You should understand, he says, that this Sankirtan for Lord Vishnu, that means congregational chanting or absorbed chanting, can mean two things. Because nowadays you can't have chanting inside, or else you'll catch the virus. Not the coronavirus, but the coronavirus. So, Tasmat Sankirtanam Vishnur, to chant the holy name of Krishna, Vishnu, not just, you know, Shiva Kirtan or Durga Kirtan or whatever. And they actually have Durga Rathyatra and everything. In Fiji is like very interesting. And Ganesh Chaturdasi Rathyatra, which they honor Ganesh by throwing him in the ocean, and the municipal sweepers have to come and sweep up the deities. But anyway, so Ksasmat Sankirtanam Vishnu Jangan Mangalam Angasam. It is the most auspicious mangala for the universe. It frees one from all sorts of sins. It's amazing. Jangan Mangalam Angasam. Mahatama Pikaravya. There's two ways of understanding this. The great souls do it too, and also the great souls approve it. Mahatama Pikaravya Vijayakantika Nishkritam. It is the best method of getting rid of, you know, whatever offenses that you've committed. Of course, don't commit offenses against the holy names. So that's our method, and of course, taking shelter of the Vaishnavas, and specifically the Vaishnava, if we have offended a Vaishnava, specifically approaching that particular Vaishnava, and then the Lord will forgive us. But don't take advantage of it. In other words, unfair advantage of it. And why will the Lord forgive us? Because the Lord doesn't harbor any grudges. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stinapriyaha. That I'm equal to everyone. Krishna doesn't like have any special enemies. So if someone surrenders to him, actually he says this in the Ramayana. When Vibhishan comes and surrenders, of course he's already surrendered, the monkeys and the bears and even Lakshman are objecting. They say, you know, he's the brother of the enemy. You know, how can you receive him like this? You know, how can you trust him? And Lord Ram says, even if Ravan himself came up, I would accept him as my own. Can you imagine that? And look what Ravan has done. Ravan had kidnapped Lord Ram's wife. Of course, we understand it was Maya Sita. But still, the offense was there. And he would accept Ravan as his very own. Why? Because the Lord, as pointed out in this particular verse, the Lord sees everyone as his children. I mean, from a particular perspective, if you're in Vrindavan, then you see God as your child. But we're not talking about Vrindavan. Oh, well, this is Vrindavan here. But we're not talking about the Vrindavan mood. We're talking about God, Krishna as God right now, not Krishna as the little boy. So Anyway, so that, and that's how the Nagapatnis are approaching Krishna right now, that, you know, you're the Lord, you should forgive him. He's your son. He's like your son. And therefore, there's a statement here that I wanted to read. It was really interesting. From the Srimad Bhagavatam. I want to read the direct quote. And this is in regard to Parikshit Maharaj's getting angry with Samakarichi, you know, the sage who puts the snake, dead snake around. So this is from the first canto, 18th chapter, text 29. The king knew well that Brahmin sages, children, women, and old men are always beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. Shy. I've made it. I can't do anything wrong. I can't be punished. No, I can't. There's a difference between punishment and rectification, okay? Because people or even animals shouldn't be punished. They can be trained by certain, you know, things like, but you don't punish them. You know, I've seen people punish their animals. You know, like an animal does something wrong. Well, it doesn't do anything wrong. How can an animal do anything wrong anyway? That's kind of interesting. But an animal does something that you don't like. I'm going to teach him a lesson. But it just, it's traumatic for the animal because the animal doesn't have the brains. So punishment is there when someone can actually accept that as a rectification. That's the standard. So anyway, so Brahmin sages, children, women, and old men are always beyond the jurisdiction of punishment. Very interesting statement. So don't punish children. Don't punish women. Children, old people, and Brahmins, sages. How about that? So anyway, so we have to learn the art, getting to the point, hopefully we'll have a few minutes for this, we have to learn the art of forgiveness. Just like the Lord doesn't harbor grudges, we should not be harboring grudges. And Prabhupada talks about this quite a bit, and I'm going to read some quotes about how to forgive or the necessity of forgiving. First one is Prabhupada talks that the word titikshava or tolerance indicates that a transcendentalist must be forgiving. The material world is full of embarrassing and irritating situations, and unless one is inclined to be very much forgiving, he will become infected by a vindictive mentality which spoils one's Krishna consciousness. Wow. That's a really powerful quote. Unfortunately, I've didn't put that. You can look it up in the database, but it's actually a really powerful quote. It spoils one's spiritual consciousness. If you don't forgive, we still got a few minutes. And then, of course, there's a quote in the sixth canto. This one I have the citation, 6:4-5. A sadhu, a devotee, is never angry. Actually, a devotee, let me qualify that. A devotee can be angry, but he is not, he can manifest what appears to be anger, but it's not anger, like we experience. Like I was listening to a memory of Srila Prabhupada. The Prabhupada was really, like, apparently getting angry at a devotee, and then 10 seconds later, he was just like, huh? Completely peaceful. But when I get angry, or any of us get angry, it's just like, it takes me about 3 days to overcome it. So, not really. But when an ordinary person gets angry, it takes some time to, like, cool down. But Prabhupada, he wasn't angry through and through. He was manifesting his anger, Krishna's anger. Okay, he's a medium for Krishna's anger. But it was just directed by, it was compassion, it was love. Just like when Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen. That was a blessing. Actually, the real feature of devotee who undergoes tapasya austerity is forgiveness, Prabhupada says. Although a Vaishnava has sufficient power in tapasya, he does not become angry when put into difficulty. Wow. Of course, I remember the story of Viswamrita Muni as he was executing his austerities. He was continually getting angry. Even at a bird that inadvertently passed stool on his head, he burnt him to ashes. Whew. So we should not be like that. What's that? The first one was in the 11th canto. Okay. One should, the next quote is, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. We know that. We're going to quote it. We must always remember this verse and be as tolerant as a tree as we execute Krishna consciousness movement. Without this mentality, we cannot be successful. Another one is, a sadhu devotee is never angry. Actually, the real feature of devotee, that's the same thing. And then another quote is, those who are tapasvis, their first duty is how much he is forgiving, how much he has learned to forgive. Another one. Brahmanas are beautiful when they are forgiving. Kshatriyas, when they are heroic and never retreat from fighting. Vaishyas, when they enrich cultural activities and protect cows. And Shudras, when they are faithful in the discharge of duties pleasing to their masters. So a Brahman, that's a quality of a Brahman. Thus everyone becomes beautiful by his special qualities. Another quote, such a devotee is very understanding if there is some discrepancy, behavior, or on the part of non-devotees, and even some devotees misbehave, he is always very tolerant and understanding. Another quote. Another quote, I am glad, this is from a letter, I am glad to learn that your cooperation for the society is appreciated by the authorities. We should learn to forget and forgive minor incidents because whenever there are two men in a place, and I may add two ladies, there's always a misunderstanding. Another quote. Even if a devotee commits the most abominable actions, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated, as you will say, to err as human. So in the neophyte stage, we may always expect some discrepancies are there. Kindly see the things in this light and forgive their small mistakes. The big thing is they have given their life, everything to Krishna. That is never a mistake. Wow. That is very powerful. The Brahmana said, here's another quote from the 11th canto. This is from the 11th canto. These people are not the cause of my happiness and distress, neither are the demigods, my own body, the planets, my past work or time. Rather, it is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. In other words, you know, when we get angry with someone and can't forgive, it's because it's not their fault that they haven't caused this distress. It's our attachment. The mind's attachment. Failing to conquer this irrepressible enemy, 11:23:47, the mind, whose urges are intolerable and who torments the heart. Oh my God. The mind, whose urges are intolerable and torments the heart, many people are completely bewildered and create useless quarrel with others. Sounds like the present day and age. Thus they conclude that other people are either friends, enemies, or parties indifferent for them. Suniti said to Dhruva, my dear son, don't wish for anything inauspicious for others. Anyone who inflicts pain upon others suffers himself from that pain. Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shimad, his divine grace, Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Nantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi Kijai, Namacharya Shidhoidas Thakur Kijai, Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Kijai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Govinda Sayam Kun Radha Kunda Kiti Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Mathuram Kijai Jagannath Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimad Glasadevi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Gauranga Shilvopad Kijai. Lord Gauranga is calling. Wake up, sleeping soul. Wake up, sleeping soul. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? You have forgotten the way of devotional service and are lost in the cycle of birth and death. I have descended just to save you. I am your only true friend. Other than me, what friend do you have? I have brought the medicine that will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you suffer. Take this great chant for deliverance. Maha Mantra, the names of Hari. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, falling at the Lord's lotus feet, take shelter of the Harinam Mantra. The Lord's holy names. Kijai. Okay, do the Shikshastika, because I got a doctor's appointment right now. Okay. No time.
Thank you.